Well, we can come to the Word of God to be preached now, and the text that I'd like to share with you tonight is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 27 and verse 28. And this is what we read there, Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. And it happened as he, as Jesus, spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now, there is a path to happiness found in Scripture. And essentially, that happiness comes through obeying the word of God. Now, what we have here is what I would call one of the nearly forgotten Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are sayings which the Lord Jesus used and taught, which point to what true happiness is all about. True happiness is being right with God and having communion with God and fellowship with God. Now, the word for happiness in the New Testament here, blessed are those that hear the word of God, that word means happiness, essentially. And you find that the Lord Jesus Christ used that in the Sermon of the Mount. But you do find the same word, the word blessed, found in other parts of Scripture. Here's one, a nearly forgotten one, in my opinion. Blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. But you also have, for example, you have Jesus saying to Thomas, when Thomas believed and he stood before the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw the wounds, and he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You see, you're truly happy, Thomas. But there are others who are going to be more happy than you, because they're believing and have not yet and not yet seen me. And then similarly, we had it in the reading this morning in Acts chapter 20. Where Paul was saying his farewell to the Ephesian elders. And he quoted the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed are those, more blessed to give than to receive." You also find a couple of these same beatitudes found in the book of the Revelation, right at the beginning of the book of the Revelation. "Blessed is he that reads." And then at the end of the book of Revelation, "Blessed is he that keeps the words of this prophecy." So you do find this idea of beatitudes and these little sayings connected with true happiness found throughout the Scripture. Now, what you've got here is a particular occasion. Jesus has actually been teaching. So the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, Jesus had been praying. And they came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So obviously John taught about prayer. So Jesus teaches them about prayer. It's a lovely passage on prayer, actually, Luke. The opening half of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 11, is a lot about prayer and is very, very helpful for us. So you have a kind of condensed version of what we call the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven." And he teaches them. And then he teaches them about the need to persist in prayer and not to give up. He teaches them about asking and requesting of God certain things. Prayer can be, one of the essentials of prayer is asking and seeking things from God in prayer. Seek his face and not so much his hand, but though you can seek blessings from his hand. And also then knocking. Asking in prayer is knocking on the door of heaven. And sometimes we knock, and very often we have to do this. I only did this the other day. Knock on the door and there's no answer straight away. So you wait. And so you knock again. You might wait a little bit longer. And then the door will open. So sometimes when we pray, we have to pray. We don't get the answer straight away. We have to wait. So Jesus is teaching this sort of thing. He taught about the persistence of coming to that man at night and asking for bread. And though this man was his friend, he said, "Well, no, my children in bed with me. No. But because of his persistence, he did give him bread. And Jesus is telling us, your heavenly Father will give good things to you if you seek him for it and ask him for it. And he's teaching. And then, as it is, there was someone there with a demon. And the demon was a mute. The person who had the demon within them couldn't speak because of the demon. Jesus cast out the demon. And the person spoke. And everybody's in awe of that. This miracle of exorcism that Jesus did at that point. And he teaches again. Teaches about spiritual warfare and dealing with the evil spirits and so on and so forth. That's the occasion. And then suddenly, in the midst of all of this, there's a crowd gathered. This woman comes out with this spontaneous outburst. My first point. A spontaneous outburst from this woman. As he spoke these things, as he was teaching these things, she realized she's listening to the wisdom of God. She realized she's listening to the very prophet of God. The king and the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she comes out with this wonderful saying, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. Now she's impressed by what Jesus has said and what Jesus had done. And so she says these things. Now I wonder, what was at the back of her mind in coming out with such a saying as this? Blessing the mother regarding this man who was giving out such awesome teaching and showing the power of God. Well, I found that some Jews, some rabbis taught from the very earliest years that the Messiah had been promised from the book of Genesis, right from the beginning. So you have Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God is ministering now out the judgment on the serpent, and the serpent's head will be crushed by the seed of the woman. Now the rabbis caught hold of that, and they began to understand it was through the woman that the Savior of the world would come, and through the woman the Messiah would come. And it was then taught to Jewish women, you never know. If you live godly, if you seek the Lord, and if you are devout, it may be, it just may be, that you might be that very woman, and the Lord will take you up to be the one that could bring the Messiah into the world. And I'm thinking that's probably at the back of the mind of this woman, and that she's saying these things with that in her mind. Or put it another way then, saying these things in the way she says them there is another way of saying, I believe you are actually the Messiah. I believe that. Well, look at your teaching. I've just heard you say tremendous things. You call God Father. That's so unusual. You have taught us to persevere in prayer. You have told us to ask and seek and knock. And you've demonstrated the power of God. So yes, I've heard your teaching on these things. I believe, actually, you are the Messiah. And she breaks out with this statement. And I believe that her statement is true. We have to honor Mary in a right way. Now, we are Protestants. We know that. And furthermore, I believe, according to the teaching of this church, has been given over the years, we are Reformed faith Protestants as well. And we believe there is a place for Mary in a right way, but not like the Catholic Church, for example, in a wrong way. We don't believe what they teach. We don't believe that Mary had an immaculate conception. We don't believe their teaching regarding Mary as a mediator between God and man. We don't believe that. But what we do believe, she was the chosen vessel that God should bring the Savior of the world into the world. We do believe she was highly honored and highly favored. And her statement, therefore, this woman's statement, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you, regarding Mary, is a true statement. It is true. Indeed, of all women, Mary was the most blessed of all women that have ever lived. You've got this borne out by Luke's gospel itself in the early chapters. So, for example, you've got Luke chapter 1 and then verse 28. Here we read there's the message that comes to Mary that she would be the one that would bring the Savior into the world. And we read there, and having come in, the angel, it was Gabriel, said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. See, it's unique. Unique blessing for her. And furthermore, verse 42, chapter 1, Luke's gospel bears that out as well. But there we read, then she spoke out, Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She now understood that Mary was the one that would bear the Savior Jesus into the world. And in fact, even Mary herself says this concerning herself as well. So in her great Magnificat, which is a most wonderful song, in the great Magnificat there, we read there, it says there in verse 48, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She's blessed. Blessed of all women, because she was that chosen vessel. Blessed is the one that God chooses and causes to approach unto him, says Scripture. And she was that truly blessed woman. So the statement is true. It was a spontaneous outburst, and it was true. But Jesus gives us a reply to that woman's spontaneous outburst. And the reply was actually a superior statement, is now given in response by Jesus. She said what she said, but Jesus says this, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It could be rendered, yes, more than that, rather, yes, rather, more than that, if you like, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus' response in no way denies that Mary was unique and special and highly favored. In no way does he undermine that. But at the same time, he doesn't elevate her to a status and a position that wasn't hers at all. It didn't belong to her. He doesn't elevate her in a wrong sense at all, but only in a truly biblical sense, we would say. So Jesus builds on this statement that this woman gave out. And what he does here, he gives a superior statement. There is another path to happiness higher than anything that this world has known. And it's simply this, to hear the word of God and to obey it. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And a voice was heard from heaven, and it was the voice of God the Father. And God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or could be rendered, in whom I'm absolutely delighted. And then the Lord said, hear ye him. Hear him. He is now the very spokesman of God. He is the prophet of God. He is my Son. He's the word of God. Hear him. And so we are to hear Jesus. And if we would know true happiness, we must heed the word of God and obey it. And this whole theme of true happiness through obedience is found all throughout the Holy Scriptures. Let's just take one or two just to show you that. You've got the famous Psalm 119, of course, and the opening verses of that there, verses 1 through to 3 at the beginning. Blessed, see, blessed, truly happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And again, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Those are the blessed ones who hear and obey his word. Or similarly, you've got Psalm 112 and verse 1. This will suffice, you see. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. But what else? Who delights greatly in his commandments. So if you fear the Lord, that is, if you're in awe of God, then you will delight in his commandments. The Father delighted in the Son. So we should delight in the Son too. And we should also delight in what the Son tells us. We are to obey his word. We are those who are blessed because if we are doing this, we delight greatly in his commandments. So we can ask this question now. How do we hear God's word today. Now, this is simple. You're regular people in chapel. I mean, this would be better preached to some people outside of the chapel if only they would listen and come along. But I want to reinforce what you know, because you can actually know more happiness through more hearing of the word of God and more obedience to the word of God. So how do we hear God's word today? Well, God has committed his word to the Holy Scriptures, hasn't he? This is the very breathed out word of God. It's the inspired word of God. And some Puritan long ago said, didn't he, God has got two lips. One's called the Old Testament and the other's called the New Testament. So when you read the Old, God is speaking to you. When you read the New, God is speaking to you. And it's all the word of God. And we have to receive the whole counsel of God, which is something we had a little bit of reference to this morning as well. So when we hear the word of God read, okay, the minister gives it out. Whoever's preaching or whoever's handling the word of God, he reads it. But you know, we have to hear this word. We have to have reverence and obedience to this word. And we have to ask the Lord to help us more and more to revere this word. Now, some of us have been on the way a long time. Some of us have been in the faith decades. Some of us up to 4 decades, 5 decades, even longer for some. And don't misunderstand me now, but you can get familiar with this. And while you'll never in any way have any sort of contempt towards this word of God, you could just get a little bit too familiar. We need to recognize afresh, that's what I'm trying to say, to have a new reverence for the word of God. I have heard that some churches, particularly Scots Presbyterian churches, years ago, I don't know if it's still a practice, but they would actually, before the service start, there would be a moment of quiet, and then the service would start, and it would start like this. The word of God was brought in almost a ceremonial fashion and brought into the congregation, probably a big pulpit Bible, you know, and would come in like that. And as the word of God came into the congregation would stand. Reverence, you see. Reverence for the word of God. Now that could actually be lacking a little bit due to our familiarity. But let's not let that happen. Let's remind ourselves. When this Bible is read, God is speaking through his word. Yes, inscripturated, but he's speaking. This is the very word of God. And of course, the other aspect of the word of God is we have the word of God to read. So now then, God has allowed certain in the church, he's called men to be called pastors and teachers, men who can expound the word of God. And the word of God is preached. And when the word of God is preached, like my little endeavor now, it's not just a mere man that's speaking. God is speaking through the mere man. God is speaking through his word. And this is, again, something we need to recognize and pray about and say, oh, Lord, speak to me, Lord, by your word when it is preached, so that my heart will be open and I will hear what you, God the Lord, has to say through the preached an applied word of God. And the ministers can do their best to apply the word of God, and they will. But the Holy Spirit will do something extra. He will apply the application in a deep way into the soul. So, for example, in our very early years, it's a good job Yvonne's not here this evening, right? But in our very early years, I went along to Ebenezer. This is in the 1970s. And Philip Williams was our minister, and he used to preach. And he preached on some occasion. And on this occasion now, Yvonne had a word with me after. You've been telling him about me? I said, what do you mean? You've been telling him about the way I think and the way I talk and the way I live? I haven't said a word. Oh, she said, but I felt he knew all about me today. How could that happen? It was the word of God. Word of God is sharp and living and powerful. And the Holy Spirit was at work in Yvonne's soul at that particular point in time. And of course, she came through to full assurance. And so that's the value and the power of the Word of God. The Reformers knew this, and they endorsed it in ever so many different ways, didn't they? Martin Luther could say about the Word of God preached, he said, "The Word is God preaching." Now that's typical Luther, straight as a die. You know where he stood with a man like that. And what he's saying is absolutely true. The Word preached is God preaching. And when we hear preaching, it's God speaking. And similarly, Calvin, he said this, "As often as the Word of God is set before us, we must think God is present and calls us." And that's the value of the Word of God. Now, when Jesus said these words here, you see, he's endorsing those very truths. Yes, you've said something wonderful about Mary. It's absolutely true what you said. It's a true statement. But I'm giving you now a superior statement. There is something more wonderful than what has happened to Mary. And the wonderful thing is this. You can be blessed if you will hear and obey the Word of God. So, we ourselves must continue to read the Scriptures reverently. When you open the Bible, do you pray before you open the Bible? You could pray that lovely prayer in the Psalms, couldn't you? "Oh Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of thy, wondrous things from out of thy law." Pray like that and take time and listen to the Word of God. Don't rush. Don't go through it too quickly, but dwell on it. Remember, it was said about Mary when the angel had told her these things, what would happen to her. It said that Mary, she pondered these things in her heart. She went over them again, that word that had been brought from heaven concerning her being the mother of the Messiah. And so happy and blessed are all those who hear and obey the Word of God. Now, to demonstrate this blessedness, and I'll move more quickly now if I can, we can actually think of certain individuals that heard and obeyed the Word of God and see how blessed they were. So we've already had Mary. How blessed she was. She heard the word from the Lord through Gabriel. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And she was then the blessed of all women because she was chosen to be the mother of our Savior. But how about Abraham? Now there's a story, isn't there? Here's Abraham. He lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, didn't he? And formerly an idolater. And then he came to understand that there is one true and living God. And he began to worship that one true and living God. And he turned from his idols and he sought the Lord and found that he knew God and looked to God for guidance in his life. And there came a point in his life, didn't there? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, when God spoke to him and told him to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. And he did. And this is what we read. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose foundations and whose builders and maker is God." God said to him, "Leave Ur of the Chaldeans." Now, can you imagine this now? Here is a man, apparently the Ur of the Chaldeans was quite a sophisticated society. They had their fountains and their plazas and their beautiful places, and they had cities and lovely places to dwell in. And God said to him, "Leave all this. I'm going to take you to a place where I will guide you." I don't know where it is yet. God knew, but Abraham didn't. And he said, "Now you go, and I will guide you and show you." And he obeyed the word of God. He heard the word of God, "Leave." But he didn't say, "Well, I've heard the word of God," and stayed. He heard the word of God and left. You see what he was doing? And of course, now we call him the father of the faithful. Why? Because he heard and he obeyed. And how blessed was he? And you saw the blessings poured out upon his life again and again. all through his story as it's recorded in Genesis. You can multiply the examples. One or two more, just briefly. Moses, he heard and obeyed the word of God. God spoke to him from a burning bush. He asked God his name. God told him, I am that I am. And he said, I'm calling you to lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, oh, well, I think you, my words now, you've probably chosen the wrong man, you know. But God chose him. And when he reconsidered, he said, yes, I'll obey. And he went and he obeyed, and God used him as a mighty deliverer. Again, the same idea. He heard, he obeyed. And the last one here, just briefly here. Josiah, young King Josiah. For a while, for a season, the word of God was forgotten. It was lost, as it were. They didn't seem to have a Bible to read in their Jewish ceremonies. But when they were clearing out the temple and sorting some things out, they found the book of the law of the Lord. And someone brought it to the king, didn't they? And they read it to the king. And he realized, we have not obeyed the word of God for a very long time. And he repented. And he called Israel to repent and Judah. And they repented. And God poured out a great blessing. Well, what happened there? They heard the word of God. It would be found. They blew the dust off. They read it. They obeyed it. And they were blessed. And a revival broke out. It can happen with us, you know. It can happen with us. If we begin to radically obey the word of God again. If we turn to the Lord with full hearts and obedience. God could take us up just in the same way. So that's just a few examples to demonstrate to you the form of how you get the blessedness from the Lord that Jesus is mentioning here to that woman with her spontaneous outburst there. Now, there are various kinds of obedience, shall we call it. Various kinds. There's firstly the essential kind of obedience, which is this. Repent and believe the word of God. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now that's where we start, don't we? We all started there. If we're all Christians here tonight, and if we're not, that's where you have to start. You hear the gospel. The gospel calls you to acknowledge your sins, to repent and turn from your sins. And then you look to Christ and you realize he died in your stead and he took your judgment upon himself. And God the just is pleased to pardon, look on him and pardon you. So that's gospel obedience. But you can also find godly obedience. This is the Christian working out his obedience in his everyday living. And godly obedience is this. More and more to discern between good and evil and to choose the good. It's discovering more and more what God would have you to do and how he would have you to live. Now, how do you discover that? Well, again, by continual reading and thinking and meditation upon the word of God. And so if there are, as we said this morning, if there are darling sins in your life still, you must put them away so they're no longer darlings in your life. And again, if God is asking you and speaking to you about changing in various areas of your life, very often it's to do with attitudes, isn't it? Your attitude towards others. Well, you might have to change that, especially if your conscience is talking to you about that. And whatever it is God is calling you to do, you have to give that gospel, glad, godly obedience to the Lord. Obeying the Lord, whatever the commandments of the Lord have to say to you. And then there's also glad obedience, isn't it? I gladly obey him. Why? Because I love him. The Apostle John could speak about this in his letters, couldn't he? He could say, his commandments, God's commandments to us who believe, are not grievous. Why should it be a hard thing to want to love and obey the Lord? Well, we are called to godly obedience and glad obedience, whereby I absolutely am delighted in the Lord and delighted to obey the Lord. That would be 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. So, in all of these things, we see here there's a path of obedience which brings about true and full happiness. Yes, Mary was a blessed individual. She really was. But there's another way, and there's a higher way, where you can be more blessed than even that Mary was. And it's simply as Jesus taught it here, in one almost forgotten beatitude. More than that, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. There's a lovely, and I'll close with this. There's a lovely, but ever such a simple and plain demonstration of this in Psalm 1, isn't there? Yeah, we are told about what the blessed man and woman is like in Psalm 1. What do they do? Well, they don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and they don't stand in the path of sinners, nor do they sit in the seat of the scornful. But what do? Well, they delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law they meditate day and night. Those that do that, says Psalm 1, will be like a tree. And that tree will be a flourishing tree. And will have hidden resources that it can draw upon all the time, because it's planted by the rivers of water, and its leaf shall not wither. Now, the Psalm 1 goes on to say the opposite of those who are ungodly. They don't obey the word of the Lord. They walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and they do stand in the paths of sinners, and they also sit in the seat of the scornful, mocking the Christians and the Christian doctrines and the church. Well, what I say about them? They will perish. But the way of the godly, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and he's with those who are righteous in the sense of they obey the word of the Lord, and he will bless them. You can be like a flourishing tree, and even in old age you can bear fruit. But go back to where I started with the text. Just simply take it on board. Jesus says, more than what anything you had to say about Mary, blessed are those who hear and obey, as it were, the word of God and keep it. And if you do that, you're truly happy. And in all the storms that come and go, there's still a place of joy and happiness and peace in the Lord. And he'll keep us and he'll carry us through. Just be obedient to whatever he says to you to do, and obey him with regard to anything that he has to say to you. And that's the path of true happiness in this short and fleeting life. Well, thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless his word to us each and every one. Amen.